It's June 14th, 2010, and welcome to the Earth Mystery Show. I'm Haynes Ely. I've got a guest today, Abe Guevara, sitting across the booth from me, and we're going to have fun. But before we start, let's thank the underwriters for the hour, Mountain Stream Meditation and Sierra Solar Systems. Mountain Stream Meditation, offering insight meditation based on a 2,500-year-old Buddhist practice, emphasizing awareness of breath and body, heart and mind. Nevada City Group meets Mondays at 7:30 p.m. at Wild Mountain Yoga. Other regional locations are at mtstream.org. Thanks also to Sierra Solar Systems, serving the foothills and the environment for 30 years, offering PG&E and remote system design and installation. Their solar-powered showroom and warehouse is at the Alternative Building Center at 563 Idaho Maryland Road in Grass Valley, 530-273-6754 or sierrasolar.com. Before we start, I found a message on the board that says, an 85-pound big yellow lab chow male named Dusty, 10 years old, was lost Saturday at Dog Bar Road between Lake of the Pines and Altasira near Wolf Creek. If you see him, please call Rod at 346-9419. 346-9419. I hope Rod finds Dusty. And let's turn your microphone on. Abe, welcome to the Earth Mystery Show.
Hi. Thanks for having me as your guest today, Haynes.
Well, it's my pleasure. We've been talking about this for a long time. It's finally come around.
You've written
a book called The Che Diaries by Abe Guevara, and I always tell people at the beginning of the show, because they're driving around without a pencil, how to get hold of the guest, and I'll repeat this over and over just because. So how do people get hold of you?
Well, I have a website, aveguevara.com.
And spell it?
AveGuevara.com. .com. Also, my email is the same name at yahoo.com.
Okay. So if someone's interested in your book or interested in talking to you about other stuff, aveguevara.com or aveguevara@yahoo.com.
Correct.
You're an apprentice of Louise Houck's. Louise has been one of my favorite guests. She's been on the show 5 times, I think, maybe more.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I had my first consultation with her right around a year ago, maybe less. And then I had another consultation with her just last summer when she was here in town. And after discussing with her the nature of this book and how that brought about changes in my life, she told me about her apprenticeship program and said that I would fit in very well with what she is helping her apprentices accomplish.
And you're also interested in dogs and dog photography, and you just recently took a some kind of training with Barbara Mariano?
Yes, I have quite a variety of interests, and they may seem all over the map, but they do all connect. Barbara Mariani does Reiki. She also does Reiki with animals and communication with animals, a very interesting woman. And both the Reiki workshop I took with her just this past weekend, my apprenticeship with Louise, all connects in with everything I'm doing now, as well as this dog photography came from, I have done professional photography this past couple of years in Nevada County for various events, personal family portraits and the like. And I was out painting a window, which anybody may have seen me around Nevada City, Grass Valley, painting windows over the past 10 years for holidays. And I painted a window for the Paws Spa, which is a new dog grooming on Jaworski across from Weiss Brothers Nursery. I took my dog in there to get groomed, and I offered to paint their windows for spring, something I haven't done in a while. While I was out there painting, many dogs came in and out getting their grooming, and they come out all looking pretty and proud of themselves, and their owners all cooing about how delightful their dog is. And that's when I hatched the idea to stay outside the spa and do some simple dog photography. I can offer this service. I love dogs, and that's where the dog Reiki will come in, because I'll be able to communicate and calm the animal down and just make it be a fun experience for everybody and capture the little animal on a very nice photograph that their owners can walk away with from the day spa.
Well, I thought the funny thing that we talked about that I thought was really a hoot was, you're learning to do what Louise Houck does, and you're really good at it. And what Louise does and what she's done on the radio for listeners is to talk to people that are deceased, that have passed over. And you filmed my wife's life of celebration. That was that was really nice, you know, celebration of her life. And so I was joking with you about dog pictures of talking to the dog's owner, and not only reading the dog, but reading the owner and saying, well, I see your aunt Tilly, who's deceased, wants you to put a new red collar on me or something. You could put them all together in one reading.
There is a great sense of humor in that, as well as, really, it is all connected. That's why the animal Reiki, the animal photography, and the what I'm learning with Louise, which is really what I already know, she's just helping develop an understanding and a confidence in my ability. It really all is connected, just like everything is connected between the pets that come into our lives and our deceased loved ones or friends, and things that we, you know, if we feel a void from the loss of somebody, they are there and ready to communicate, and we can't always be open to seeing it. And even if we are open to seeing it, if we do see or hear it, we tend to discount it to a vivid imagination, the grief process, or a mental imbalance, of which none of those things are really the case when we're in tune with someone that is residing in the multidimensional field, which is not in the body.
We're going to talk about that in just a minute, but my dog, Ursa, died. Many of the listeners have met Ursa, and she died last week, and I was very comforted when you told me you saw Ursa with Catalina, my late wife, as a puppy, because I hadn't even thought of that, but Catalina loved Ursa so much, I thought, I bet you nailed it. I bet that's where she is right now, not hanging around with me, but bouncing around in the afterlife with Catalina.
Right, and as her caretaker since your house fire last year, Ursa and I have become very close. I still get a little choked up at the thought of her not being here. But I did have the honor of being the last one to pet her and give her snacks that morning of her departure. And when you called me that evening and said she had passed, on my way over to your house, I saw the sky in brilliant colors that I really hadn't seen before. And, of course, we've all seen the sky in many different colors. And right at that moment, Ursa revealed to me that she was stomping around in a younger body that was out of pain and happily with Catalina, both of who I saw very, very happy to be reunited.
Yeah, that's a wonderful picture. Well, let's get to you. Let's get to your book. The book is called The Che Diaries by Ave Guevara. It's a fascinating book, and I don't even know where to start asking you questions about it, so I'm going to just start you off. What happened? You went to Argentina in what year? 2005?
2006. October of 2006. I went down with my friend Magdalena, who was born and raised in Argentina. She had just graduated high school, and her dad told her he would let her go down there and visit her relatives that she hadn't seen in many years. And she chose to pick me to go with her, old enough to be her mom, out of all her age-appropriate friends that are her age. I felt honored that such a young, vibrant lady would pick someone that's a mom's age to go with, and I felt guided to go with her and go down there. And it was a time in both of our lives, her right out of high school and myself just having a huge life change as well. We were both at a crossroads in our individual lives, and we went down there, and I think it was really we were guided to go down there just as we're all guided to do various things that we don't always have an understanding of at the time, but reveals itself as it goes. I was off for an adventure, and so was she, and boy, I certainly got an adventure I had no idea was coming and couldn't have fathomed in my wildest imagination.
I'm going to read from your book. This is before we find out what happened to you, but this is, you know, really early in your book. It's like page 25. When I return home, things will be different for this new person that is awakening. I possess a sense of excitement about what is on the other side of this journey. Arriving home to my sanctuary in the jungles of California, I will learn how to enjoy doing what it takes to take good care of myself. Caring always first for others, be they children or the partner, I have neglected the aspect of genuine self-care. God is this body, mind, system that I was given, and by loving and nurturing me, I do so for that which created me. I will call forth for protection from those whose involvement with me is destructive. I will focus my intent on self-empowerment and relieve myself from the stresses I have courted so long. shaking them off like the bad habits they are and have been. As fears arrive to disturb my peace, I will release them and surround myself only with true friends. Learning to see the positive and good in everyone is to free myself from negativity in the form of perceptions, opinions, or judgments. Time for breakfast. I thought that was a good intent. So how has that intent manifested itself since your trip?
Well, the purpose of the trip, as it was revealed, was part of a reinvention of myself. I was a single mom for 28 years, my children being spaced to where it took 28 years to raise them up, both up. And, you know, an assortment of relationships as well throughout my life. My energy was always focused on caretaking both my children, doing what needed to be done to care for my children, provide a home and all the trimmings that go with child care, and also putting my energy into relationships, thinking that somehow the male-female bond was a completion and a necessity to be complete within one's own self. Well, as my children were raised and my last one was out of the house, my long-term relationship, which was the most significant one I had in my life, had just ended abruptly. And I realized I was by myself for the very first time in my life. I didn't even know how to grocery shop for one person, and I really didn't know how to even wrap my mind around what it meant to just take care of myself. I always just plugged along every day and just did what I had to do. So the reinvention part was learning how to actually... You always hear about, you know, mothers and caretakers, how they have to nurture themselves, and that's really just an intellectual concept if you don't know how to embrace it. I had the intellectual concept because I heard it so many times, but I never really embraced it, meaning to day in and day out do it. You know, every once in a while it's nice to go to the spa and feel like you're really taking care of yourself, or a day to just have downtime every once in a while. But the day in and day out of just nurturing yourself without feeling like it's selfish, and feeling like to take care of myself is actually helping to take care of the planet, because it's helping one more soul to find joy and be centered in what their purpose may be, and to find out what that really is. I always had many interests, as initially we explained some of them are, and it was really hard to focus on which interest was going to develop into the ability to have a livelihood that's both enriching and takes care of the bills. So this has been what that was about. And Argentina was a big turning point. I was there for 2 months. And so I knew something was going to be different when I came home.
We haven't got to what's different. We're sneaking up on it. So I'm going to read another quote. This one's from page 68. Most people recoil from truth and may even shoot or torture the messenger. Everyone loves bullshit as if it were a delicacy to be savored. Not everyone with awareness of basic truth is nice either, and those that use it against others for personal gain are the most dangerous. Truth is a funny thing. Some true stories aren't necessarily about truth, and all stories about truth aren't necessarily true. I thought that was cool. This story is about my own personal journey with a truth that I find hard to believe, but reveals itself to be true despite my doubts and fears. So what's the story that we're going to hear?
Well,
our guest is Avi Guevara. This is Earth Mysteries. I'm Haynes Ely. You're listening to KVMR 89.5 FM.
Yeah.
All right, now go.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to this story. When I was in Argentina, I had never heard of Che Guevara, the revolutionary that assisted in putting Fidel Castro into power. Never saw the famous picture or any of that. No idea of this individual. I was in La Boca with... Magda, and just sightseeing when this picture in this window just dragged me over to it, and I stood riveted on the spot and was mesmerized and basically entranced and transported to kind of outside of myself. And then Magda had to drag me away from it into the store, and I said, "Who the hell is that?" And she said it was Che Guevara, a dead revolutionary, and I'll tell you about him sometime. Well, from that moment, that was the That was the turning point in my life. Haynes just put on a Che Guevara beret and a wig, and it's just hilarious. I really wish I brought my camera. I'll try to tell this story with a straight face. And so at that moment, it wasn't just a past life recognition that we had a life together, as you know, a lot of that kind of talk goes around and thoughts go around, but something deeper evolved. Dreams ensued. Oh, he's taking his own picture. That's perfect. And from that was a turning point in my life, and it opened me up to a multidimensional possibility that wasn't just in science fiction movies. And when I came home from Argentina, a lot happened in Argentina around that. And then when I came home, it persisted. And I actually just thought when I came home from Argentina, well, that was just something that happened down there, you know, because he's from Buenos Aires, and I probably just picked up a vibe from the poster and from, you know, that's where he resided, so his energy was there. But when I came home, he came charging into my cabin one night, and it was just a shocking experience, something I would never believe could happen. I am open to other beliefs and esoteric teachings and all that, but I never would have thought any of something of this magnitude could actually happen to me. I considered myself a pretty grounded person.
Well, here's another quote. This one's from page 121. Receiving direct and clear communications from Bea, that's Che, to publish these diaries detailing our situation, I am emphatically hesitant about doing this. No way do I want public judgment on the state of my mental facilities or the validity of this ass-kicking, life-changing event to be up for the ignorant public to dispute, ridicule, or invalidate. To come out with a story this abstract would surely find me in a vulnerable position. The situation is very personal to me, very private, and to go public with this is an extremely scary thought. I don't want public judgment of this. It's my very personal experience. So here we are.
Yeah, that's a good quote from the book, because I've always kept journals of my life. I have over 200 books. Never did burn them. Some of them are written in shorthand, so nobody could ever go back and read what I wrote. But my whole life is documented in journals, including my trip to Argentina and this experience that occurred when I came home. Because what came home is I started having automatic writing and getting messages from Che of how he wanted to rewrite his legacy, how he needed to communicate some things to heal some of the hatred surrounding his effects he's had on some people, many people. And he's very unhappy with the icon status he has for the wrong reasons. Not very proud of what he's done looking in retrospect. Well, I documented all this in journals as I went, like I've always done. And I never had intention to publish it. It was just a life process that I do anyway. And about 9 months into this, he came to me and said clearly, we're to make this into a book. And I said, no way. And that's when that quote from the book came up, because I had no intentions of making it a book. Journaling was my own process. And then the book came out of those journals. This book is actually a compilation of 5 journals that I started in Argentina and took us on the journey of my whole 9 months with his integration into my energy field, which is basically what happened in a nutshell. His energy field integrated into my energy field, which was a real butt kicker, I must say. And the fact that it turned out to be somebody infamous was beside the point to me, because I never heard of him. But I knew it would make it even more unbelievable for anybody to fathom this occurring.
It's 12:30 in downtown Nevada City, and I don't know what time it is where you're listening to us on the World Wide Web at kvmr.org. I'm Haynes Ely. This is the Earth Mystery Show. Our guest today is Ave Guevara. We're talking about her book, The Che Diaries by Ave Guevara, Notes on a Multidimensional Evolutionary Journey. And the book is available here in town, I think, at Harmony Books. How about the evolutionary journey in the multidimensional words? What's it like being multidimensional?
Well, as it turns out, I have very vivid memories from childhood. And some of those memories I always remembered, obviously, but never really understood. But we are all multidimensional beings, whether we are of concrete, skeptical mind that's got our feet firmly on the ground here, or we have one foot in the other fields and being open to energies from other dimensions. There's many theories on it, and I'm sure quantum physics even explains some of the realities of it. But this has broadened my sense of the multidimensional beings that we all are. For example, when somebody passes out of their body, their energy field is not gone. We've all heard this a million times, but the reality of that is quite a different thing to live. Like I said, the intellectual concept versus the reality. The evolutionary journey is my own personal spiritual evolution through this experience. It really kicked my butt outside of the open mind that I even thought I had. It made it more open because it was happening to me. I either had to gain an understanding of it and believe it or go get on medication thinking I'm crazy. And I went up and down with that throughout the whole process, and a lot of those entries are in the book. But I came around to really understanding the validity of this instead of questioning my mental faculties.
One of my favorite stories is The Ordeal of Gilbert Pinfold by Evelyn Waugh. And in that book, Gilbert Pinfold is on a ship, taking a transatlantic ship, and the radio keeps talking to him, and he hears voices coming out of the radio, and he reacts to them. And it turns out it's from a bromide he was taking for headaches. It was a medication side effect of hearing the voices. And the whole time he thought he was going crazy. And it turned out, you know, when he stopped taking the bromide, the voices went away. And I just wondered, you know, if you found somebody else in your head that was famous, if you were, you know, somebody driving around listening right now, what would you do? How would you react? Would you write a book? Come and talk on the radio? I think what you're doing is really brave, because obviously there are a lot of people who say they channel Nefertiti or Tutankhamun or something like that, or Napoleon, and people shrug their shoulders and say, nut job. And you're not channeling. I mean, you're not a channel, right?
Right.
This is just an event that happened that kind of out of the blue, and you're obviously not crazy, and it's obviously not due to medications. So, How do you get the courage up to write a book and talk to people about Che Guevara's living in my head with me?
Well, I came to the conclusion that, first of all, my reality here is not contingent upon anybody's belief system or opinion. And that's why I had written in the book, when I was presented with making it into a book, there's no way. I don't need to come out with this. I have nothing to prove to anybody. But it was almost a responsibility that I was chosen to be the one to listen to him and believe that it was him, as opposed to chalking it up to ego or craziness or imagination, because I had a lot of those doubts. But I didn't hear voices. It came through his automatic writing, which that is the proof in the pudding. I would just write. I didn't know what I was writing. The handwriting was different. And then when I went back and read it at another point, even my friends would say, you couldn't have written that. And it's a responsibility that came with it, as opposed to feeding the fear and of that it couldn't really be happening. The responsibility came that the conditions set it up where it was ripe, to where I had all the conditions conducive to having something like this occur. I'm sure that it happens with other people, with maybe other beings. However, this is the situation and the individual that was isolated for my experience. And we're kind of like in partnership to bring about the message that clearly is coming from the other side, from this person that was once Che Guevara and is really basically the energetic matrix of him. They were really clear in the book with the automatic writing to not get distracted, the fact that it was Che Guevara's life as opposed to his energetic matrix now.
On page 131, you talk about lesson 151 in the Course in Miracles, and you said it spoke to you directly. And I'm quoting here. It says, "I am resurrecting my liberation. The mortal men with whom I have been involved had dysfunctional habits and minimal to no desire for spiritual exploration, making me glad to be in union with a non-mortal entity, even if it does kick my ass sometimes. The judgments I have of this past of his past incarnation activity come and go." That's what she just said. "It's my personal growth at play involving judgments of any kind, hence a characteristic of the holy relationship." And this is some of the excerpts from the Course in Miracles, Lesson 151. "No one can judge on partial evidence. That is not judgment. It is merely an opinion based on ignorance and doubt. You do not seem to doubt the world you see. You do not really question what is shown you through the body's eyes, nor do you ask why you believe it, even though you learned a long while since your senses do deceive. How can you judge? Your judgment rests upon the witness that your senses offer you. Witness never falser was than this. Your senses are false witnesses." So if you write this stuff out, you know, not knowing who's at the other end of the pen, and then you read it, how can you be sure you're witnessing something true, that it's not a false sense?
That's a good question, and I, in fact, questioned it myself many times. Now, this whole experience did bring me even closer to my spiritual nature and getting very clear and praying and meditating and clearing my mind and focusing my intent on having clarity and not deceiving myself. So my intent was clearly focused on clarity so that none of this had me fooling myself, because there was always that fear. I mean, I was riddled with the fear. Am I just fooling myself here? Am I just tired of living alone, so I've invented an imaginary friend? But I have studied the Course in Miracles on my own at the onset of a huge life change a couple of years prior. And I remember reading about the holy relationship and reading about how all our senses, all our five senses, deceive us. They deceive us. They're entwined with the ego. And if we, and to just go by what we see or hear or even feel, we are not open to the clarity of heart of what we can receive, because basically we're receivers. And yes, information comes through the physical senses, but it's that sixth sense, and it's the intuition and the heart that picks up, that bypasses the mind, which filters it into a category that we relate to as humans. And this entire experience was outside the whole concept of what you grasp as a human through those filters. It basically ripped my filters down.
I'm going to read some more. It's easier to read this than to ask you to say it all over again, since you already wrote it down. And this is from Che Guevara talking, you know, through you in your book. And he says, "I wish to give to the world and the survivors of my brutality my honest and absolute apology for my misuse of power and the suffering it caused. This was no example to follow. I wish to apologize for those actions, and the voice that allows this to come forth is through Avi. I gave her the name, and she had the courage to take it and grow into it and present to the world what came through her from me. I maintain promotion of the revolution of the spirit and for individuals to become revolutionaries for their own empowerment. Do not harm, hate, or discredit Avi. She is not me, although she allowed the integration of her energies into her personal matrix and makes the deliverance of this information the priority I request. She was led to be my channel to each and every victim of the heinous crimes against humanity by my hand, directly or indirectly from my life as Che Guevara. To issue forth an apology in words that are adequate to convey, I seek not forgiveness for my own sake or any continued adoration. I wish the voices of the victims to be heard, that they may be set free from their continued suffering when they witness the continued idol worship of a face that does not warrant or deserve this honor." He's the most recognizable face. Like when I put on this beret and wig, if I walk out on the street, everybody on the street will say, hey, Che, how you doing, bro? Most recognizable face other than Jesus in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, this stuff that he's saying, that he's apologizing for his heinous crimes against humanity, it's at the back of your book. It's buried. It should be at the front in big letters.
Well, this was the order that I received the information. It's the book is written in chronological order, like a journal, so it's the timing of the journey. Because throughout the whole book, I also was wondering, kind of get to the point, what is the purpose of this mind-bending experience? And it came in this order. It was kind of the climax of the book, and when I received that information through my hand, that was an automatic writing experience, what you just read. I mean, I was sobbing because I felt the energy coming through of how he felt, and how that's one of the things. He has seen his face become distorted to symbolize something he absolutely did not want symbolized. And his face is remembered as the person with the gun that killed a lot of people. And that's not what he wanted the worship to be about.
This is a tough one. I'm asking a tough question. And that is, if someone really was good and really was apologizing for their actions and gave up their worldly wanting to be recognized and seen as that face on everybody's T-shirt, why would they hang around the Earth sphere and not move to the light and move on?
This is a very good question. It's unfinished business. This has come to me several times. The timing of moving to the light, there is no time on the other side. There is no time when you're out of this dimension of Earth human energy. So the timing of what we think is they're hanging around here for 40 years after their death. Why haven't they moved to the light? Well, that's 40 years of our time. That's nothing to over there. There's certain, and to have an understanding without understanding why, that this is the way it is, and I don't have to understand why. We almost can't even relate to no timing. That's things hold various souls here or hanging around for one purpose or another, and for as many souls as there are, there's as much, you know, timing is our issue. And I believe that, it's revealed itself to me that this was such an important issue for this energetic matrix, that the holding of him in a certain way, from the way his face became famous and what it stands for, people even see the face and have no idea who he even was, that potentially can hold a person's part of their energy here to rectify something. I mean, I'm certainly not an expert on this. I can only talk about this experience with this individual and myself. But he's not Che Guevara anymore. He's the energetic matrix of him, and in that energy is held this worship that's going on the planet. And that's, I think, part of his journey to get to the light is rectifying this.
If enough people hold a thought of somebody, does that hold that person back? I mean, like, if there's somebody very, very famous that everybody loves, let's say Mother Teresa, if everybody's saying prayers to Mother Teresa in India or wherever, does that hold her spirit near the earth or not keep her from moving on?
You know, again, I'm not an expert in this, but I do sense that the good teachings that she gave help release her. And if she is, I think any being that sticks around, it's their choice. If it's something they really feel they need to rectify, or something, you know, that they can assist people, you know, they do that.
Our guest today is Avi Guevara, and she's written this book called The Che Diaries by Avi Guevara, Notes on a Multidimensional Evolutionary Journey. And if you want to talk to her, her website is Avi Guevara, AveGuevara.com, and her email is AveGuevara@yahoo.com. Her book's available in stores and at Amazon, and it's here at Harmony Books. And I always let people call the Earth Mystery Show. The number is 265-9555. If anybody has a question for Avi, certainly I've thought of a lot of questions, but the listeners probably never heard of anything like this, of someone channeling. I hate to use that word, channel.
Integrated.
Integrating somebody that can talk to Che Guevara in their head. I mean, it's just not the average stuff that we do. And, you know, how believable are you? I'm familiar with this. I've read the book and everything. But when you go around and visit friends and stuff like that, and you tell them, I wrote this book and Che Guevara's in your head, what percentage of people believe it, and what percentage of people look at you with the deer in the headlights look of like, uh-oh?
Well, a few people have had the deer in the headlights look, and I'm actually kind of used to that. However, I have had people say to me that, wow, one author friend of mine that's written a couple of novels, he said, you've taken an unbelievable subject and written it in a format that made it quite believable.
You are a good writer, that's for sure.
Thank you.
Well, here comes a caller.
Uh-oh.
Caller, do you want to be live on the air with Avi Guevara?
Yes.
You're on.
Really, I just wanted to get the website name again. It went kind of fast, and I wanted to get that.
Okay, thanks for calling. It's aveguevara.com.
Okay, and can you spell that, please?
I sure can. A, V as in Victor, E, G as in great, U, E, V, A, R, A. If that's a lot to remember, you can also have the same link through the chediaries.com. That's linked up, too. It's a little bit easier to remember.
All right, and thank you so much. It's been so helpful, all that you've been sharing.
Thank you, Colin.
From the beginning.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. If you read my book and have any questions or feedback, please feel free to contact me.
Thanks.
All right.
Here's
another caller.
Hi, caller. You're live on the air.
Yeah, hi. Enjoying the show. You had mentioned... Well, at least I got the impression that maybe you found your path, your passion, that's tied to making a living as well.
Uh-huh.
And I was just wondering, if that is true, if you might be able to give us some tips out here for those of us who are looking for that. I'll take my answer off the air.
Good question, caller. Thank you.
Looking to make a living from the experience on this book?
I think we were talking about all the stuff like your apprenticeship to Louise,
dog
photography, your dog communication,
yes.
The book, all of it. In other words, using your other dimensional evolutionary self to make a living.
Well, this experience has certainly led me to these other people, Barbara for the Reiki and Louise for the spiritualist consultation specialist. They all tie in because, like I said, they take time to develop into an actual income-forming situation. That's why photography is my instant way of making a living while I'm developing my Reiki and my spiritualist intuitive consultant capabilities with Louise. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, here's another caller. Caller, you're live on the air.
Oh, thank you. As Cuba is known around the world as medicine, as doctors to people in need, I wonder if Che had ever mentioned such, like, suppose they gave a disease and nobody came. Suppose we cut away from the AMA model, the FDA, petrochemical, pharmaceutical, financial, because I just wonder, do you know what I mean? Did he mention anything
about being a doctor?
Well, he did. We haven't really gotten into that, to tell you the truth. We haven't gotten into the doctoring aspect, as opposed to what brought that about in his life was the desire to help others. That's the essence of why he became a doctor. But it's his desire to help others of what has spoken through to me in the form of forgiveness, basically, from the situation that kind of overshadowed his doctoring.
Oh, okay, well, yeah, it's a narrow needle, just one realm medicine in the constellation of life. That's it.
Thank you.
Thanks, caller.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Yeah, there were some good things that came out of the Cuban Revolution, like medicine for Cubans, which was much better than what they had under Batista. But at least when I look at it from a distance, having a good medical system in a country that's impoverished, I'd rather be in a rich country, just one person's opinion.
Mm-hmm. He did a lot of work with the San Pablo leper colony in South America, too, and it really is, it's the oldest leper colony around, and it's still going on, and now they practice telemedicine there and assist with that disease, which he's always had an interest in, and he actually visited that in his early 20s.
I'm wondering how long it will be before people forget him, and that's not in a good or bad way of saying it, but for someone that's been dead so long, to still have his picture on T-shirts and still have posters with his picture, I would imagine, you know, like kids my age, my children's age, don't have a clue. Who's this old bearded guy in a picture? I bet you they don't even have a clue, but yet his picture is still a popular symbol of revolution.
This is true, and the movie Che just came out recently, which didn't get good reviews because it was so long. And, of course, I watched it because I wanted to watch it. Of course, I was guided to watch it at a certain time, which was in the privacy of my home when it was on a video. But that's an amazing, amazing movie, and it's really well produced.
How true is it? I mean, can you consult in your head and go, no, that's not right? Or?
A lot of it was true, and that's why people that watched it said it's really boring. It's just this guy in the woods, but it really got down to some of the details of what was going on back in the revolutionary days and back in the forest. There is a lot of actual footage, both stills and video shots, of him actually being in the woods, in the jungles. And so a lot of this movie footage was taken from that actual footage. So you kind of can't argue with the actual footage from the real day. The subtitles are very easy to understand because it doesn't flash really quickly and make you have a headache. So it's a wonderful, wonderful movie that to really get the most out of it, you watch the two parts in two separate nights. But It's pretty amazing, and not because I'm biased to Che Guevara, but because I made it a point to study him a little bit after he already came through.
Caller, do you want to be live on the air with Avi Guevara?
Yeah.
You're on.
I had a question, Dan, that you deal with dogs and the psychic phenomenon. And I have a dog that I haven't had him long. He's a mutt. He's a poodle, a mutt. But he stares at me, and I swear that he can read my mind.
He
could comment off the air.
He can, mm-hmm. And you know what he's thinking right now.
He's thinking, I'm not a mutt, damn it. I'm a full-fledged dog. Well, you know, it would be really nice to be in the presence of you and your dog and sit down and get some communication from him. Being I'm new to this communication with animals, eventually I will be proficient enough to be able to just do it on the air like this. But in all honesty, right now, to give you an honest assessment, he's definitely trying to tell you something.
Are you going to eat all that? That's what he's saying. You going to eat all that?
And the fact that you're on the air asking shows that you're getting the fact that he's trying to communicate something. So I'm working on doing that work right now, and I would be happy to just shoot me an email. I'd be happy to meet with you, of course, at no charge. I'm going to do about 20 free consultations with dogs for my apprenticeship in this regard, and I'll be happy to consult with you and your dog and see what I can come up with for you.
I know. I already know. Are you going to eat all that? No, dogs really do talk, and they really do read our thoughts. And the day that Ursa died, I was actually over at Sienna Gold's house having dinner with her, and I said, I've got to go. Ursa's calling. And I just felt this really, really strong call that Ursa was calling. And I got home, and she was looked like she'd just gone to sleep. She was dead. But I knew that she was she'd either passed and was saying hi to me on the way out or was calling me to come home. One or the other. I mean, it's very clear.
And my take on that with Haynes was that the dog was saying goodbye. She wasn't saying, hurry home, I'm dying and you can save me. And just a thought that just interjected, sir, was think about the setting that you have when your dog is staring at you, what you may be doing, what you may be thinking. Just reflect on that, and I just wanted to leave you with that thought.
Thanks, Avi. Well, our guest today is Avi Guevara. We've got a short hour. We've got to go. Zentech's coming up in a minute. The book we've been talking about is The Che Diaries by Avi Guevara, A Multidimensional Evolutionary Journey. It's at Books of Harmony. It's on Amazon.com. Her website is aviguevara.com. Her email is aviguevara@yahoo.com. Until next week, when the power of love overcomes the love of power, there'll be world peace. Thanks, Avi.
Thank you.